Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And Denise, a very familiar voice, is sitting here at the table for fans of this show from years ago, Sunscape. John White, welcome to our show again.
Thank you. Good morning.
Well, you're the garden curator at the Chihuahuan Desert Gardens, and you're here today to help us plug the native plant sale, which is going to be taking place, as usual, on the final weekend of April, and it's going to be right outside the Centennial Museum on campus there, outside the Undergraduate Learning Center. Is that right?
That's right. While people here are doing the pledge for KTEP, they can come over to the plant sale.
That's right. In case people haven't heard, we are going to be starting our pledge drive, KTEP, on that weekend as well. So we hope that we'll get some people wandering across the way from your plant sale to drop off a pledge of support and to support you guys as
Of
course.
Our plant sale, a lot of people look forward to it, and so getting the word out that it is happening again, as you said, the last week of April, and we're bringing in a bunch of plants, and the last couple of years we've had a few things left over, so things have really sold briskly on Saturday, so we're bringing a few more things in. But I think, as people know, that it is first come, first serve, and so Saturday is kind of a wild day. But we're bringing more stuff in, so hopefully there's some more stuff to pick from in the afternoon and for Sunday. But it has been a very popular event. People look forward to it. We have maybe not necessarily brand new plants, but there are a couple newer varieties that are out on some of the plants that have been popular, like the Tacomas, the yellow bells. Mm-hmm. We now have red bells and orange bells and everything else, so they aren't just yellow. So there are several new cultivars, varieties in those that have come out. So we'll have some of those and, some of the traditional landscape material that people like to use in their native landscapes, and kind of looking for different colors. And if somebody had something they lost, in the 2011 freeze, we still every once in a while have some plants that still, didn't quite recover and finally gave up the ghost. And so we have some replacement plants for those. And we have some good tree selection. So people are looking for some trees, and trees are very important in the landscape. And for El Paso, there's hopefully a little more emphasis on trees from the city and from clientele residents that are wanting to see more tree canopy to kind of help cool things down a little bit. And they help harvest rainwater when we do get rain. Right. You remember what that is?
What?
Hopefully we're going to see some this year.
Right.
I don't know.
Well,
Pretty hot and dry.
I hope that, people listening, they may know somebody. I think everybody knows somebody who, they're a cousin or a friend or a neighbor who thinks that native plants are little shrubby creosotes or cactus or nothing, just sort of desert. The people who may be new to the region or people who just really don't notice what is really growing around them. This is a really good way to introduce them to the kind of plants that really can flourish here, and then they can grow large, and they're very colorful, and they're beautiful, and they're also helpful because they help us save water as well. So, I hope that if you don't really know anything about native plants, go to the Native Plant Sale April 27th and 28th and get a really good introduction as to what can really grow well here in El Paso.
Right, and I think it's a really great opportunity for people to start looking around now and visiting the Centennial Chihuahuan Desert Gardens, walking around, writing down some plant names, things that they're maybe interested in, things that they see in the landscapes as they drive around town, to be able to start identifying what the names of these plants are. Because when that plant sale rolls around, you kind of pick up what you need and get out the door. So we definitely have a lot of those resources available, whether they're extensive plant lists, not just with the extension, but also our other partners in education as well. You can go and look at some plant slides, look to see what it is they're doing. Because a lot of times, and I think John would agree, native plants have a very showy section, very seasonal. Sometimes you kind of walk by and say, what's that plant doing? Well, come back in 6 weeks and you can see those blooms on there.
Yeah. You got to wait for it.
Yeah, unfortunately, native plants don't always look good in containers either. So once they get put in the ground, they respond a lot differently. And Anderson and Florence and all, when we started the plant sale, we thought we were only going to do it for about 3 or 4 years, and all the nurseries would be carrying native plants, and there wouldn't be a need for a native plant sale. Well, we're in our 19th year, almost 20th year.
I don't think people would forgive you if you stopped doing a native plant sale. So I think you're stuck with it now.
So it's kind of the one-stop shop, so to speak. So a lot of people do hold off and wait for the plant sale to come up to purchase stuff for their landscape. And native plants are, we have native and desert adapted. Native plants, you can go out in the desert and see what our true natives are. And those are there for a lot of different reasons. They've adapted to our climate and our region and have certain specific things about that plant as to why it survives out in 100-degree heat with 1 inch of rainfall and how it makes it and why you can't do it in your yard the same way. So it takes a little bit of working with the plants. So, we have people that buy plants, and we had one lady that, said most of her plants died after she planted them. And we said, well, we start talking to her how she was caring for them and when do you water? And she goes, water?
I didn't think they were desert plants.
I didn't know they needed water. So that's one of the big misconceptions is you got to water these and take care of the plants for a couple years, let the root systems get established, and then gradually start backing off on the water and extending your periods between irrigation, and then you can kind of wean them off the irrigation. But a year like this where it's real hot and dry, no rainfall, you're going to have to do a little bit of supplemental watering to keep things going. An urban landscape is a little bit different than being out on the desert. Plants can kind of space each other out and make use of the land they have. But in an urban area, sometimes they're planted a little closer, and you need to give a little bit more supplemental water. But again, it's not as much as you would be with a full Bermuda grass yard and, and traditional plant material.
So let's talk about some of the plants that maybe I'm thinking of, the desert willow and the honey mesquite trees. Those you tend to see sort of out in the middle of nowhere doing really well. And the desert willow, of course, putting out those pinkish blooms. I'm assuming you guys are going to be carrying both of those.
Yes. The mesquite, of course, the mesquite that we have native in our climate around El Paso is honey mesquite, but it's a subspecies that kind of fits our area. And so it's a little scrubbier looking. So it's got a little shorter inner nodes and a little more bushier looking. With more water, it does tend to grow up into a little bit more tree shape. But the Texas honey mesquite that you see that's the bigger mesquite that's taller and everything comes from more central Texas and south Texas where they get a little taller. Both of them are great trees. You can find our subspecies, and we'll have some at the sale that, do fine. They make a good tree. I love mesquite trees, but out in the wild, both desert willow and mesquite have root systems that go fairly good distances. They mine water from big distances, so that little bit of rain that falls on the desert, they have their roots out there, and they take it up pretty quick. They find it, and desert willows a lot of times you'll find in areas maybe on the edge of a low area where water collects when it does rain, or a arroyo coming off the mountains or off the hills. There'll be a little bit more water, and you'll see the desert willows collect along some of those edges of those arroyo beds and stuff. And both plants will, you give them more water, they'll say thank you
and just keep
and grow a little faster. If you cut them off, they'll continue to grow. So they're very adaptable. The worst scenario would be probably heavy, poor draining soils. All plants have problems with that. So good drainage is a requirement, especially with some of our native plants because they're just used to being in a more friable, sandy situation.
So also be aware if you're going to be shopping for a tree or a shrub, make sure you know what kind of soil you have. If not, ask the volunteers who are going to be there. They'll probably ask you what side of town you live on, right. And then they'll tell you whether or not that's a good choice for your yard.
Right. You know, the size of the mature size of the plant is important to know, too. So when you buy a mesquite tree, you don't plant it 3 feet away from your
wall. They're really cute when they're small, right? And you want to get it nice and close to your house so you can look out your window and say, oh, how cute. But you won't be saying that in about 5 years.
Right. And one of the worst things I see is just people abuse plants, not just native plants, but all plants. They're abused. People start pruning them into gumdrops and squares.
Or lollipops.
Lollipops and topping them.
You don't want to do that with native plants.
You really just let them, you know, buy them as to the size they're going to grow to and put them in the landscape for them to fill those spots that you need. But let them grow to their natural size and shape. If you do need to do some pruning or something, you know, we'll do some selective thinning of branches, but not shearing them or chopping them.
Right.
You know, don't take the hedge clippers out because they just really look ugly that way. You lose the natural shape of them, and then you've created a maintenance thing where you're going to have to do it on a regular schedule in order to keep them looking that way.
A
formal landscape is not what you want to do with
native plants. No. I had a couple of years ago a Desert Museum Palo Verde tree, which is one of the thornless ones, and it's gorgeous. Mm-hmm. It blooms all over the place with these yellow flowers. Unfortunately, it died down in the freeze. But I did find that I did have to do some pretty heavy pruning. That thing grew fast, and it grew big, and some of the branches just sort of grew dangerously low where they looked like they were going to cause some damage to the tree. So there may be some pruning involved when it comes to some of your native trees, but you don't want to do any severe sort of cosmetic lollipop topping type of work on your trees.
Right. Yeah, the you know, Desert Museum, there was a lot of people that had them.
Yeah, also, one of them.
You know, the Palo Verdes are not a native tree of our Chihuahuan Desert. We do have a Parkinsonia, the Jerusalem thorn tree, the Retama, Mexican Palo Verde, goes by several different names. It's kind of desert adapted. There is one Retama that is native to the Chihuahuan Desert, but they're, again, a little bit cold sensitive, so you don't see a lot of them up in the northern part of the Chihuahuan Desert because they freeze out. But is a plant that's, you know, with our warmer winter temperatures that we did have, you know, prior to 2011, we were starting to see a lot of Sonoran Desert plant material come into our landscapes, commercial and residential, in the nursery trade, and people would go over to Tucson or something, pick up stuff, bring it over here, and in 2011, made believers out of them. We're back to Zone 7.
Well, we're running out of time, but John, we're going to have you back next week to talk more about some of the other plants you're going to have available at the Native Plant Sale, which is taking place April 27th and 28th at the Centennial Museum on the UTEP campus, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. each day. And as is always the warning, get there early because it's first come, first serve, and people can get mean.
Right. If they have any questions, call the museum at 915-747-5565.
And you're also online at museum.utep.edu.
Right.
John White is the garden curator at the Chihuahuan Desert Gardens on the UTEP campus. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.